thank and I believe the language in heaven is English. Judges chapter 3, verse 31, the Bible says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Enath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Shall we pray? Dear God in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful time that we can worship you in truth and spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that great, great salvation that is full and free. Yes. Lord, as I open the Bible, open the hearts of your people that they might be, that might understand the message of this afternoon. Lord, help me to be of help. Thank you, Lord, we love you because you first love us. Yes. And I pray for the Holy Spirit of God that will anoint my lips, make me a blessing to your people. Lord, without you, I am nothing. Thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the title of the message is Shamgar, the Unknown Deliverer. Every one of us know about Moses, know about Joshua and Caleb. How about Shamgar? You know what? The Bible is filled with stories of people who appear on the pages of the Bible and then disappear. For example, the widow of Zarephath, you know, who feed the prophet Elijah. And the Israelite maid who tell Naaman about the man of God. And in the New Testament, the little boy who gave his land to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very clear that the God uses who are unknown to accomplish his known work. Thank God he uses ordinary people. You know, when God called me, I belong to a very poor family and a bashful type of person. And I told my God, Lord, why me? And God said, why not? Yeah. Thank God he used the unlikely person to do extraordinary things for his glory. Yeah. So we'll study about the life of Shamgar. First of all, Shamgar was a worker. Shamgar, his name means sword. His name really fit concerning him. He was like a sword, you know, in the hand of God. And God used him to defeat the enemies of enemies of Israel. Shamgar was not a prophet. Shamgar was not a priest. He was a farmer. And the Bible says he carried an ox goad. I don't know if I say it right. He carried an ox goad. By the way, ox goad was not a weapon of war. It is an agricultural tool used in farming. And we know one of the characteristics of farmer is that they are hard working. They are diligent people. You know, farmers in the Philippines, they wake up early in the morning, bringing the water buffalo to the field, plowing the field, cutting the grasses, and planting the seeds. And then, Shamgar also lived a difficult time for Israel. Why? Because they were oppressed by Jabin, king of the Canaanite. And Jabin was a powerful enemy. He got 900 iron chariots. The Bible says, not wooden chariots, not plastic chariots, but iron chariots. Right. And Shamgar lived with Israel, lived with fear. According to Judges 5, verse number 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Enath, in the days of Jael, the Bible says the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. So they were afraid to travel the highways because of the enemies. And I believe one of the great lessons we can see from Shamgar is that God tends to use people who are already busy. Right. God tends to use people who are working. Yeah. I remember Elijah when he called Elisha. Elisha was not in the house sitting. Elisha was in the field plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Right. So in other words, when Elijah called Elisha, I believe Elisha was working and he was busy. Back to Shamgar. You know what? When God called Shamgar, he was not idle. He was already working. He was working to feed his family. No wonder when the enemy came, God used him as the chosen instrument to defeat the enemies of God. I believe God does not use people that are not diligent. Amen. In the book of Matthew 21, verse number 28, the Bible says, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Right. What a privilege to work for God. Son, go work today. We become God's son, not because we keep the law, we are going to church, we are good. We become God's son because we believe and accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior in our hearts. John 1:12, but as many as receive Him, to them give you power to become the Son of God. And it's a privilege to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew chapter 20, verse number 6, the Bible says, why stand ye here all the day idle? And just, and thank God, Jesus Christ is our great example. In John chapter 9, verse number 4, the Bible says, I must what? Work. The work of Him that sent me. Thank God we have a working God. Amen. During His earthly ministry, He traveled to every village and healed and preached the word of God and healed all manner of sickness. And thank God that Jesus Christ worked for our salvation. Amen. And thank God that salvation is free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And thank God that the God that saves you, the American people, the white people, amen, the same God that saved us, the brown skin Filipinos, and He's still in the business of saving lost souls. Thank God for Romans 1:15. The gospel is God's power unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Filipinos. Amen. I searched in the internet, you know, the most lazy countries and the most lazy people. The most lazy countries, number 3, Saudi Arabia, 60% inactive, meaning to say, didn't work. Number 2, Swaziland, 69% inactive, continent of Africa. Number 3, Malta, 71% inactive. And I searched also the most lazy person in the world. Number 3, his name is Phil Findrick. Always watch TV and play Xbox. Always watch TV and play Xbox. Number 2, Chris Bass, the laziest man in Britain, making a cup of tea. Too much hard work. Very lazy. Making a cup of tea, too much hard work. Listen to the number 1, his name is Ike Verma. He said, work stinks. He was absent for 23 years of his 24 years career. This is a little bit funny story, you know. Man told his doctor that he wasn't able to do all things around the house that he used to do. So he told his doctor that he wasn't able to do all things around the house that he used to do. When the examination was complete, he said, "Doc, tell me in plain English, what is wrong with me?" And the doctor said, in plain English, you are just lazy. In plain English. And he said, "Doc, give me the medical term so that I could tell my wife." Medical term so that I could tell my wife. I believe a dream doesn't become reality through magic. It takes sweat, it takes determination, and it takes hard work. I remember Thomas Edison, he said, success is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. There was a veteran pastor, and the Bible student approached him and said, "Preacher, what is your secret of your, you know, of your being a veteran pastor, of your success?" "Okay, get a pen and a paper and write it down." And the Bible student was excited. What's the secret of his success? Number 1, work. You have to work. Yeah. What's the number 2? He was excited. And number 2, work. And number 3, work. Yes. We work not because we are defending ourselves. We work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe He will give us success by the grace of God. Amen. We trust Him with all of our hearts. Number 2, Shamgar was a warrior. Not only a worker, he was a warrior. In the preceding verses, you can see Othniel and Ehud, they were warriors. Now, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Canaanites under King Jabin. You know what King Jabin did? King Jabin disarmed the Israelites to make them weak militarily so that they could not defend themselves. And you know what? The Philistines, who lived close to the area, they took advantage of the situation. They will invade the Israel because they have no weapons, no, they have no swords, they have no spear. They took advantage, they invade, and make them captives, steal their crops, and destroy villages. When the Philistines came, most of the Israelites will flee or run in terror, but to avoid death and capture. But Shamgar refused to run. When the enemy came, he stood to his ground and fought. Shamgar did not have any weapon of war, but just an ordinary ox goad. But with that ox goad, by the grace of God, he defeated the enemy, which saved his family and his people. He killed not only six Philistines. He killed not only 60 Philistines. He killed 600 Philistines using the ox goad. I believe his power was not just physical. His power was spiritual. I remember Joshua, you know Joshua in Judges, in Joshua chapter 1, the successor of Moses, and he was afraid to rule the people, but God said, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Amen. Be strong and of a good courage. When I started the work in that island, I came from a church from another island, and the member said, you cannot build a church in that place because it's very Catholic people. But I trust on my God. Amen. I went there with my luggages and with my family and with a dream to start a Baptist church by the grace of God that stand for the truth. Not only one, but another 17 Baptist churches. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God was in it. Amen. Yes. I like the song, The Fight is On. You like the song, The Fight is On? Cowards in the battle will not find a place. Shamgar knew that some things are worth fighting for. He was fighting for his home, his family. He was fighting for his freedom. He was fighting for his land. Yes, Christian life, you know, Christian life is not a playground, but a battlefield. Every day we face three great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But for the world, the Bible says, love not the world. For the flesh, I reckon myself dead to sin. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust thereof. For the devil, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Thank God the devil is a defeated enemy. Amen. We are warriors by the grace of God. We fight for our home, our marriage, our children. We fight for their salvation and righteousness. I cannot forget when my son was 15 years old, third year high school, he was influenced by his classmate preacher. He began to drink, gamble, and other vices. It was a struggle for me. It was a spiritual battle. Why? Because he grew in the church, the Sunday school. And I saw him with his, you know, friends, with wine. But I did not quit. I prayed to God. I know, Lord, the devil is pulling him out from the church and from God. But I pray that God will pull him back to the church and pull him back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray hard by the grace of God. After 7 years, you know what happened? When he graduated college, the owner of the school told him, I will offer you a job in the school. Good salary. But one day, my son approached me and said, Dad, God called me to preach. When I heard that, I could not help but cry. By the grace of God, I did not surrender. Amen. He studied in our Bible Institute. And I told him, his mom told him, yeah, you study in our Bible Institute, you stay in our house. He said, no, I am a Bible student. I will stay in the dormitory. But after 3 years, by the grace of God, I commissioned him to start a mission work. He just followed my footsteps. He is now a missionary in that town by the grace of God. 1 hour and 20, 30 minutes from our place. Amen. Folks, I did not quit by the grace of God. Because the God I serve answers prayer. Amen. The God I serve is omnipotent. The God I serve, the God we serve is powerful. Amen. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. For with God, nothing is impossible. God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Just keep on keeping on. Do not surrender. Amen. Trust God. He will give us victory. Amen. Yes, the church is under attack. The devil wants the world to be in the church. He wants the church to be worldly. the devil wants to take the KGB in the church. He wants to change our worship. He wants to change our doctrine. He wants us to compromise. But Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Be a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be separated. Number three, just short message, Peter. Amen. Number three, not only Shamgar, number one, the worker, Shamgar, the warrior. Number three, Shamgar, the winner. Shamgar, the winner. Judges 3, verse number 31, the Bible says, Shamgar delivered Israel. Sounds of victory. Amen. God used Shamgar to deliver Israel from Jabin, their enemy. Why? Because God was with him. I believe the battle is of the Lord. Amen. When David faced Goliath, the battle is of the Lord. Winning. I like Romans 8:31. What is Romans 8:31? If God be for us, what's next? Who can be against us? Amen. I embrace that verse. I believe on that what God said. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? In 1 John 4, verse number 4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I believe winning is not a sometime thing. It is all the time thing. Amen. I like the song, Born to Win. Hallelujah, born to win. Amen. If you are alive, living, we are winner. If the Lord takes us home, we are winner because to die is gain. Romans 8:37, the Bible says, we are more than what? Conquerors. Amen. Napoleon Bonaparte is a conqueror. Alexander the Great is a conqueror. Amen. Great conqueror. But the Bible says, as believers, what a blessing. We are more than conquerors. You know, Jim Elliot, the missionary to Aucas Indian, murdered with his four missionaries. He said this. When the attackers came, he had gone to kill them. But he did not. His reason, if he should die, he would go to heaven. Whereas his attackers, without knowing the gospel, yet will go to hell. He chose to be killed more than conquerors. Instead of killing conquerors. And the final outcome, after his death, the attackers were saved and the whole tribe. It is not about overcoming the enemy, but converting the enemy. When we started the work in that island, we are greatly, persecuted because the people doesn't like us, doesn't like the gospel, doesn't like the church. We are like people with leprosy, they evade from us. But we just continue. One time I was preaching Sunday, and the neighbors are throwing rocks in our roofings. I don't know if you have experienced that one. Amen. Rocks. And then after 1 year, I moved to another place. I thought that the neighbors are okay, but still the same. You don't like us. One time I was preaching Sunday evening. I was preaching. Our neighbor had a big speaker and a very loud music. And I was preaching. The members could not hear me. I just stopped the service. But I did not stop serving God. I just keep on keeping on. And praise God, after 7 solid years, the Lord gave us a piece of land, piece of property. We built the church building, we built the parsonage, and we built the two-story building for the children and the Bible students. Folks, I did not quit. Why? Because I am a winner by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. You know what? I'm done. The first time I came to your country, I experienced many first time. First time to use vending machine. Vending machine? You put money and there's something will come out. And one of the missionary said, brother, do you think there is somebody inside? Somebody inside, I told him, I have no idea. Because he is from the mountains in the Philippines. First time there, so very curious. You know what? Secondly, first time to eat in your McDonald's. Listen, your Big Mac is really big. It can feed one family in the Philippines. First time to eat in Golden Corral. I was shocked. Salad, fish, chicken, beef, steak, and in the dessert, you know, cakes, banana pudding, blueberry pie, you know, all the cakes. And you know what? I really said to myself, how blessed you are living in this country. I hope you will not take it for granted. One of my preacher friends said, America is a land flowing with milk and chicken. That's real. Flowing with milk and chicken. You know what? Church, I am not here for myself. I am representing the need of the missionaries. You see in the video, the other one, in their building program, they need windows, doors, and flooring. And the other one, they need trusses and roofings. I was greatly challenged because of the calls, preacher, the calls like Jehovah's Witness, Church of Christ, Mormons, Catholic Church. They have nice building, but they are not preaching the true gospel. They are not serving the living God. But you know, the Baptist churches, it is not finished. The churches, the church that has, that needs windows, doors, and flooring, they need $4,000. And the other one, the roofings and trusses, they need $3,000. But thank God, I was able to raise half of it by the grace of God. Amen. The $7,000. Amen. Yes. You know what? Traveling to your country is a sacrifice. Last month, I experienced my car broke down, preacher, in I-77, West Virginia Turnpike. Wow, I'm so scared. Just stop. No battery. The windows are closed. I cannot roll down. And then it's very hot. Oh, it's like Philippines. But you know what? The Lord is very gracious. I could not give a call because there's no signal. I walked for 2 miles to get a signal. And still, there's no signal. I came back to my car for another 2 miles. And after 3 hours, there's a man who pulled over. And then he told me, and he gave a call to tow my car to the nearest hotel. For 15 minutes, he charged me $400. It's a sacrifice, number one, to leave your church for 3 years, 3 months, your ministry. to leave your family for 3 months, that's a sacrifice on my part. Leaving your wife, my wife, once again, she has health issues, vertigo, you know, her heart is heart disease, BP is unstable. And you know, preacher, she told me, Nymphaisa, she doesn't want me to go this time. But I told her we need to sacrifice for the sake of the ministry. But for myself, I will come. We need to sacrifice for the sake of the missionaries. Please pray that God will provide for this undertaking. Building churches, training the young people for the glory of God. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you, Brother Marr. Sure appreciate that this afternoon.